del mundo que viene y que va, pobre mi vida será si no estás aquí.
La revista de la semana, Los Dilemas de Nicaragua, The Weekly Review, The Nicaraguan Dilemmas. Definitivamente, la reciente elección presidencial en Nicaragua, que dio un nuevo periodo presidencial a Daniel Ortega y a su esposa y vicepresidenta Rosario Murillo, coloca a mucha gente que ciertamente se sitúa en una posición antiimperialista ante un complejo dilema. Como latinoamericanos, solidarios con la lucha de nuestros pueblos contra las diversas dictaduras que entonces eran una plaga en el continente, vimos con regocijo y compartimos la alegría del pueblo nicaragüense cuando en 1979 los sandinistas se coronaron con la victoria y con ella vino el fin de la dictadura de Anastasio Somoza Hijo, una tiranía sangrienta y dinástica que se había extendido por décadas. El rápido cambio de una estrategia de guerra de guerrillas a guerra convencional en los últimos tramos de la lucha dejó descolocado al propio Estados Unidos, y fue así que ese año se vivió ese histórico triunfo en aquel país centroamericano. Luego vinieron los años 80 con la presidencia de Ronald Reagan y la feroz agresión a través de la llamada Contra, grupos armados que fueron financiados por Estados Unidos. En la elección siguiente, Ortega perdió la presidencia a manos de Violeta Chamorro. Vino después de eso un interregno y finalmente el retorno de los sandinistas en 2007. Para entonces, sin embargo, también el sandinismo había ido cambiando. Por cierto, no al punto que quieren mostrar algunos medios controlados por la derecha a nivel internacional y por Estados Unidos. Es sencillamente grotesco comparar al gobierno de Ortega con lo que fue la sanguinaria dictadura de los Somoza. Para empezar, una diferencia central ha sido la inversión que el gobierno de Managua ha hecho en el desarrollo de programas sociales prácticamente inexistentes antes del triunfo sandinista en 1979. Sin embargo, es motivo de preocupación que destacados dirigentes de la primera hora del sandinismo, como el escritor Sergio Ramírez y figuras que combatieron también en la guerrilla, hoy sean señalados como enemigos, especialmente si ellos no han modificado sus posiciones de izquierda y de defensa de los ideales sandinistas. aunque sin ánimo de buscar culpables y mucho menos en una mujer, pero algunos analistas han apuntado de un modo muy crítico a la figura de Rosario Murillo, esposa de Ortega y actual vicepresidenta. Ella es nada menos que sobrina nieta del general Augusto César Sandino, pero también hay que advertir que los lazos de sangre en este sentido no son suficientes para dar credenciales de revolucionario a nadie. Lo cierto es que ella ha tenido un rol sobresaliente en los últimos años y algunas de sus intervenciones, salpicadas de un extraño misticismo, han terminado por dañar la imagen del sandinismo. Pero en esto Ortega también ha tenido un rol. Después de todo, fue él el que pactó con el líder derechista y expresidente Arnaldo Alemán, quien luego fue condenado por corrupción. También buscó un acercamiento con el cardenal Miguel Obando, quien había atacado groseramente a Ortega tratándolo de víbora. A cambio de eso, y en el tiempo reciente con especial apoyo de Murillo, el gobierno sandinista ha mantenido una política contraria al aborto, por ejemplo. Un dilema es entonces el que presenta el gobierno de Ortega. Por un lado, aún y ahora más que nunca, está en la mira del imperialismo y de los gobiernos derechistas de la región, que se han apresurado a condenar el resultado de las elecciones. Pero como apunta el analista internacional César Calero en el diario español Público, la única salida a la encrucijada nicaragüense es el diálogo. Pero claro, este debe ser un diálogo auténtico e inclusivo, particularmente con los sectores de la izquierda, ex integrantes y muchos antiguos líderes de la guerrilla que hoy se ven marginados del proceso político, incluso amenazados con cárcel por expresar ideas disidentes. Y de ese modo no se construye diálogo. Y lo peor es que, en la medida que ese diálogo no sea realmente significativo y fructífero, el mayor riesgo es que al final sea a través de una subversión ciudadana fomentada y financiada por Estados Unidos, o sea a través de otros mecanismos, aún lo que vaya quedando de los principios y obras del sandinismo podría ser borrado si es que al final se produce una restauración de la derecha. Ortega y su esposa deben entonces abrirse a esas posibilidades de diálogo si de alguna manera se quiere salvar los principios e ideales del sandinismo que en el siglo pasado ganaron los corazones de tantos latinoamericanos que hoy ven con aprensión su alejamiento de las prácticas que inspiraron la lucha por la democracia y la justicia social. Tratando de ser optimistas, pensamos que aún es tiempo de retomar ese camino. Definitely, the recent presidential election in Nicaragua, which gave a new presidential term to Daniel Ortega and his wife and vice president Rosario Murillo, places many people who certainly stand in an anti-imperialist position before a complex dilemma. As Latin Americans, in solidarity with the struggle of our peoples against the various dictatorships that were then plaguing the continent, we shared the joy of the Nicaraguan people when in 1979 the Sandinistas were crowned with victory and with it came the end of the dictatorship of Anastasio Somoza Jr., a bloody dynastic tyranny that had extended for decades. The rapid change from a strategy of guerrilla warfare to conventional warfare in the final stages of the war left the United States itself unsettled, and so it was that year that saw that historic Sandinista triumph in that Central American country. Then came the 80s with the presidency of Ronald Reagan and the fierce aggression through the so-called Contra, armed groups that were financed by the United States. In the following election, Ortega lost the presidency to Violeta Chamorro, followed by an interregnum and finally the return of the Sandinistas in 2007. By then, however, Sandinism had also been changing, certainly not to the extent that some media controlled by the international right wing and the United States want to show. It is simply grotesque to compare the Ortega government with the bloodthirsty Somoza dictatorship. To begin with, a central difference has been the Managua government's investment in the development of social programs that were practically non-existent before the Sandinista triumph in 1979. However, it is a cause for concern that prominent leaders of the first hour of Sandinism, such as the writer Sergio Ramirez, and figures who also fought in the guerrilla movement, are now being singled out as enemies, especially if they have not modified their leftist position and defense of Sandinista ideals. Although not looking for someone to blame, and much less a woman, but some analysts have pointed in a very critical way to the presence of Rosario Murillo, Ortega's wife and current vice president. She is no less than the grandniece of General Augusto César Sandino, but it should also be noted that blood ties in this sense are not enough to give revolutionary credentials to anyone. The truth is that she has played an outstanding role in recent years, and some of her actions, sprinkled with strange mysticism, have ended up damaging the image of Sandinism. But Ortega has also played a role in this. After all, he was the one who made a pact with the right-wing leader and former president Arnaldo Alemán, who was later convicted of corruption. He also sought a rapprochement with Cardinal Miguel Obando, who had rudely attacked Ortega, calling him a viper. In exchange for that, and in recent times with special support from Murillo, the Sandinista government has maintained a policy against abortion, for example. The Ortega government presents a dilemma. On the one hand, even now more than ever, it is in the crosshairs of imperialism and the right-wing governments of the region, which have been quick to condemn the election results. But as the international analyst Cesar Calero points out in the Spanish newspaper Público, the only way out of the Nicaraguan crossroads is dialogue. But of course, this must be an authentic and inclusive dialogue, particularly with sectors of the left, former members and many former guerrilla leaders who today are marginalized from the political process, even threatened with imprisonment for expressing dissident ideas. And in this way, dialogue is not built. And the worst thing is that, to the extent that this dialogue is not really meaningful and fruitful, the greatest risk is that in the end it will be through a citizen's aversion promoted and financed by the United States or through other mechanisms that remains of the what remains of the principles and works of Sandinism could be erased. This may happen if in the end there is a restoration of the right wing. Ortega and his wife must then open themselves to these possibilities of dialogue. If in any way they want to save the principles and ideals of Sandinism that in the last century won the hearts of so many Latin Americans who today view with apprehension its distancing from the practices that inspire the struggle for democracy and social justice. Trying to be optimistic, we think that it is still time to return to that path. Good day.
País de cielo, país de tiza, piden las paredes libertades, la calle espera, la gente sabe, es que hay un juramento y hay silencio. Y hay un hombre amor que resucita. Somos territorio de violencia, mi pueblo habla, mi pueblo grita. Somos territorio de violencia, mi pueblo habla, mi pueblo grita. Basta de muerte, basta, basta, basta de morir, morir, morir. Que se vayan ellos, que se vayan ellos, los que no dejaron nacer y vivir. Que se vayan ellos, que se vayan ellos. Encarcelaron, que torturaron, los que te mataron. Que se vayan ellos, que se vayan ellos, los que te prohibieron gritar libertad. América es volcán y sufrimiento, hombre y ciudad, locura y viento. La tierra va sudando campesinos, la historia elige nuevos caminos. Es que hay un juramento y hay silencio, y hay un hombre amor que resucita. Somos territorio de violencia, mi pueblo habla, mi pueblo grita. Somos territorio de violencia, mi pueblo habla, mi pueblo grita. Basta de muerte, basta, basta, basta de morir, morir, morir. Que se vayan ellos, que se vayan ellos, los que no dejaron nacer y vivir. Que se vayan ellos, que se vayan ellos, los que encarcelaron, los que torturaron, los que te mataron. Que se vayan ellos, que se vayan ellos, los que te prohibieron.
Bye. tan pronto me podría olvidar, porque a él lo vi andar en un taxi ocultándose atrás. La crueldad fue que al voltear la misma esquina y desde lejos yo en el bar, como idiota me dejaba engañar mientras todo me empezaba a temblar. ¿Cómo imaginar que era el mismo lugar? Solo sé un tren, el primero hay que sale a las 6, pero no pensé que tan pronto me iba a suceder, porque fui por un café, no sé por qué diablos me demoré, maldita la hora en que regresé, si había llevado todas mis cosas no la encontré, otra vez me han vuelto a abandonar. Debo no ponerme a llorar. ¿Cómo pudo pasarme en el mismo lugar y frente a mis ojos? Aunque endurezcas el corazón, siempre se vive en una prisión. Hay que saber aguantar el dolor, tienes que sonreír, hay que saber fingir.
Bien, vamos ahora al fichero latino de hoy, 14 de noviembre de 2021. En los eventos, el Consulado General de la República Argentina en Montreal les invita a visitar la exposición Stereotipia, que estará abierta hasta el 28 de noviembre, donde participa la artista argentina Nora Golich. Esto es en el Centro Cultural y Comunitario Henri Lemieux, en el 7644 Rue Édouard, en La Salle. El Consulado General de Chile en Montreal informa que el domingo 21 de noviembre tendrán lugar las elecciones presidenciales y los chilenos del exterior, de aquí de Montreal, que estén inscritos para votar podrán hacerlo en el Marché Bonsecours, situado en el 350 Saint Paul, en el Viejo Montreal. El horario de votación será de 8 a 18 horas. Para votar se debe mostrar cédula de identidad o pasaporte chileno, mascarilla y distanciamiento social tal que prescrito por las autoridades debe mantenerse en todo tiempo. Lanzamiento de las ediciones francesa e inglesa del libro Presencia chilena en la Belle Provence, Présence chilienne dans la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence. Esto es el jueves 25 de noviembre a las 19 horas en el local de la Maison d'Haïti, ubicado en el 3245 en la avenida Émile Junot, en el sector de Saint-Michel. Si uno va por transporte público, puede tomar el metro Saint-Michel y el bus 67, o el bus 67 desde, también desde el norte de la ciudad. Este evento será seguido de una recepción. En cumplimiento con directivas del gobierno de Quebec, prueba de vacunación será requerida. Y anuncio de interés público a la comunidad peruana en Quebec. Del 1 de noviembre de 2021 al 31 de enero de 2022, se llevará a cabo la segunda encuesta mundial a la comunidad peruana en el exterior 2021, organizada por el Ministerio de Relaciones Exteriores del Perú y el Instituto Nacional de Estadística e Informática, INEI. En un esfuerzo conjunto de las entidades públicas para trabajar en los planes, programas y servicios orientados a beneficiar a las comunidades peruanas en el exterior. Para el caso del Consulado General del Perú en Montreal, se ha establecido la cuota muestral de 199 encuestas completadas como mínimo, al haberse tomado como fuente la base de datos del RENIEC de la comunidad peruana residente dentro de esa jurisdicción del consulado. Para llenar la encuesta, abra el enlace, regístrese y responda las preguntas. Hay que ir al sitio https://encuesta.inei.gov.pe/ peruanos en el mundo 2021/public/. O comuníquese con el consulado para tener más información. Dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. A partir del martes 16 pueden registrarse las personas de 80 años y más. El jueves 18 las de 75 años y más. El martes 23 las que tengan entre 70 y 74 años. Y el día 25 las que se hayan vacunado con AstraZeneca. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés e inglés. Y publicaciones. Edición inglesa del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence en la Belle Provence, escrito por Sergio Martínez y Roberto Hervas, ya está a la venta en librería Argos en el 1841A Saint Catherine Oeste y en la librería Paragraph, 2220 McGill College Avenue, precio $10 más impuesto. The Book Chilean Presence in La Belle Provence, English version of the book Presencia Chilena in La Belle Provence, written by Sergio Martinez and Roberto Hervas, is already on sale at Argos Bookstore, located at 1841A St. Catherine West, and Paragraph Bookstore on 2220 McGill College Avenue, price $10 plus tax. L'édition française du livre Présence chilienne dans la Belle Provence est maintenant disponible à la librairie de l'Université de Montréal, 3200 Jean Briand, à la librairie Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre, Vieux-Montréal, et en ligne sur Grenoble, prix $10 plus tax. El tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Combinación de sol y nubosidad con una temperatura máxima de 5 grados. Para esta noche, posibilidades de chubascos con una mínima de 2 grados. Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tiene alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com. O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook. Y Tiempo Latino se ha escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección: www.ckut.ca. Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado, presionando Latin Time. Un muy feliz domingo para todos nuestros amigos oyentes. Have a happy Sunday.
destrozando mi vida. Y al irte me vaya corriendo a pedirte a Dios que te bendiga. No, no podré perdonarte, a pesar de que te amo con toda mi alma, me obligas a odiarte.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop Production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes.
The latest news from the world of radio every Sunday morning at 10:30 on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at CKUT.ca.
Welcome everyone to the International Radio Report for Sunday, November the 14th, 2021. My name is Sheldon. I am here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in. It is our weekly visit with you with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio here in Montreal, across the country, and around the world. We try to cover it all for you. We can be reached by email at radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at the website of CKUT, which is an FM campus community radio station here in Montreal. The website is ckut.ca. We have a Facebook group, International Radio Report, and we welcome a bunch of new members this week. We have Alex, John, Anwar, Lopez, Larry, Abigail, and Leo, bringing us to 650 members. And our YouTube channel, where you can go and listen to the show again after it is aired and listen to previous shows as well. The YouTube channel is International Radio Report. And we crossed the 500 subscriber barrier this week. We're at 501 subscribers. So cool. That's really good. Thank you all for participating and joining in with us. We do welcome your input through all of those various sources. And input is what we're going to start the show with today. We received some fan mail, so we thought we'd share this one with you. It comes from Nick Sharp, who's listening to us in the UK. And he says to us, thank you to both of you for the excellent weekly radio program, which I hear during the week on your YouTube channel. I found it difficult, if not impossible, to listen on the CKUT website under the archives page, but no issues whatsoever with the YouTube channel. He goes on to say, I may be wrong, but I feel that the International Radio Report, being the 30 minutes radio program from CKUT FM 90.3 in Montreal, has changed over the past few months from being devoted to Canadian media to international media. Perhaps more shortwave news and stories have become available, or the introduction of the YouTube channel has moved you in a slightly different direction. I just wonder what your local audience must think. Perhaps it's a great way to bring more people into shortwave listening. I've been a listener to Radio Canada International since 1977, with my favorite channels being 15325 and 17820 from Sackville in the Sunday evening programs with Ian McFarland's DX Digest and Glenn Hauser's reports from Oklahoma, standing out strongly in my mind. Thank you once again to both of you for an enjoyable half-hour program once a week. Best 73's Nick Sharp. His observations about the program are a little bit, need a bit of explanation.
Yeah.
How he talks about us going from being devoted to Canadian media to international media. Well, that's not the case. It really comes down to what's happening from week to week. You know, even though we're located here in Montreal and we do talk about radio in Montreal and radio across Canada, it is an international radio report program. Yeah. And some weeks there's more stuff international, less stuff Canadian, and other weeks it's vice versa. So I guess it depends how long you've been tuning in and what the content of the shows were that you were listening to, where you may have seen one or two weeks with a lot of Canadian information and then all of a sudden no Canadian information. And like today, where we really don't have anything Canadian on today's show, that could all change next week. So it fluctuates based on what's going on out there. So sometimes you'll hear lots of Canadian content, other weeks you won't. So really that's the explanation. We do thank you for listening. We thank you for taking the time to write to us, and we'd love to hear from more of you. So you can drop us a note at radioreport@yahoo.com or post up a message on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and like Sheldon said, you know, Canadian news on radio is quite limited unless some big shift is happening from one of those companies that owns radio stations. You know, you'll have ratings, stuff like that. But overall, it's rather quiet. So when we don't have a lot of Canadian news or even local Montreal radio news, well, we shift to what's available and what we could talk. And a lot of it is international. And there's also more chance of having international news than local news most of the time. So, you know, one day we could be almost all Canadian, all local, depending what happens. Sometimes it'll be like today, just all international.
And we know we have, because of the Facebook page and the YouTube channel, we know we have a lot of listeners scattered all over the place. We have a bunch of listeners locally who like to hear the local news, things going on in radio locally here in Montreal and others across Canada. But there is a big international audience out there as well. And I think, you know, the show is all about radio. And it doesn't matter where it comes from, what type of radio it is. We do everything from AM and FM to long wave and short wave and utilities and ham radio. And, you hear the ham radio contest listings every week. So it's really just about radio. And wherever something's going on, we try to talk about it.
I think it's really a show that's very open, because a lot of shows, and I've had comments from some people saying, well, you know, I thought it was a shortwave only show. It's like, no, we deal with everything related to radio, and it doesn't have to be shortwave only, and it doesn't have to be about necessarily broadcasters. It could be a radio story that is interesting or important, giving us, you know, a feel of what's happening with radio anywhere in the world. And we have some of these stories from time to time, nice little stories about how radio helps in different countries.
That's what I like. And I think what listeners like about the show is you never quite know what's coming next. You know, and we don't know from week to week. We scour a lot of resources that we have, but we do rely on input from our listeners as well that are scattered around the planet. So whatever you see that's radio related that you think might be of interest to us and our listeners, please take the time to send it along to us.
Yep, for sure. So there's something coming up that is an annual publication, a very popular publication among radio enthusiasts. The 2022 World Radio TV Handbook is scheduled to go on sale December 8th, 2021. This is the 76th edition of World Radio TV Handbook, continues to offer one of the most comprehensive guides to broadcasting. With the help of our international network of contributors, it provides the most up-to-date information on medium wave, shortwave, and FM broadcasts and broadcasters. The book is available from a variety of sources, including Amazon. And this is definitely an amazing publication for the information about all that is broadcasting around the world, including very detailed information about, you know, people to contact, you know, address, phone numbers, who is who in broadcasting. It's a, I would say it's a guide mostly for broadcasters and who wants to follow what's happening in broadcasting, much more than a resource for a shortwave listener has, you know, schedules and stuff, even though it does have schedules. It's not for everybody, but what it does and the information it has is definitely the best and the most accurate out there about, you know, transmitter information and location. And there's, you know, maps. There's very detailed information about broadcasters. There's a little bit of radio reviews. There's a look at solar activity, what's coming up in the year, for example, next year. It is a nice publication to have. It's not for everybody, but if you are into broadcasting, if you like to know and have more details about all of it, it's definitely the best resource out there.
It's really a book that is meant for the industry more than the casual radio listener or shortwave listener, what have you. But there are sections of it that are adaptable to what we do as radio listeners and hobbyists. So it's a nice combination of both. It's really good for QSL hunters as well. There's lots of information on addresses, websites. But you also learn about the like here in Canada, the CRTC that, or you know, governs radio. You find out who the governing bodies of each country are, you know, who the national networks are, who the contacts are. It's really used within the radio broadcasting industry a lot, but there is a nice element of it that can be used by, you know, you and me and the rest of our listeners out there.
Absolutely.
So if you've never had one before, it might be fun to pick one up. So look for the 2022 edition coming out on December the 8th, and it's available online through many different sources. There's a couple other publications that are free available online that we want to tell you about this week. A lot of different groups putting together some really nice publications out there, many of them downloadable for free from various websites. The first is the QSL Window. And we thank Yimber Gaviria reporting a lot of these publications to us through our Facebook group. The first one, the QSL Window, this free publication, QSL Window 2021, is now available. It supplies postal and electronic or email addresses successfully used to receive confirmations, QSL cards, eQSLs, e-letters, emails, for sending reception reports to stations. It's authored by Rudolf Grimm and Fabricio Silva. And we'll put up a link to where you can download the publication. I took a look at it. It's really well done, nicely put together. So if you're a QSL hunter, I think you'll want to get hold of this free publication.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely amazingly good. If you are a QSL hunter, it's something that you need to check. I've actually downloaded all of those publications that Yimber has actually posted on the group. Really nice to have. Another publication that is of interest, and that's also from Yimber Gaviria, Radio Report Facebook group, is the Shortwave Bulletin, issue 1988. That's now available for download. The October 31st, 2021 edition of the Shortwave Bulletin from Hardcore DX Group is now available as a free download. It's available on the Hardcore DX website that we'll post a link. It highlights in this issue include QSL information and shortwave logs, World of Radio updated B21 schedules of AWR Wavescan, DX programs in English, DX philately, stamps of radio stations by continents and countries, Museum of TV and Radio Broadcasting in Kazan, REST DX number 1156, new frequencies and changes, the O-Razin Museum History of Telecommunications and Computing by REST DX 1157, Soviet transistor radios of 70 to 79. So all sorts of very interesting information. Once again, take a look at this. It's free, and there's so much to read and to look at.
The next one is called the DX Fanzine. The number 98, October 2021 edition is now available. DX Fanzine is an electronic newsletter which was originally edited in 1999 and 2000. It brings together tips and news as contributed by individual DXers or from various different sources. We are interested in any change in frequencies, times, language services, transmitters, program content, phone and fax numbers, electronic and postal addresses, and station personnel. The purpose of DX Fanzine, which doesn't pretend to be in competition with any other electronic DX newsletter, is to provide timely and topical news and information to shortwave enthusiasts worldwide. It's available on the web, dxfanzine.com, and we'll post that link for you. And it's updated as soon as loggings, DX news, frequency updates, as well as QSL notes are received from any shortwave listeners around the world. Although the primary platform for delivery of DX Fanzine information remains its website, it is turned into a PDF file where you can see the final version of it with loggings and information just as they appear online a couple of days after the end of each month and sent out free to anyone who is subscribed. The current as well as the previous editions of it include those years of 1999-2000 can also be accessed from its home page.
And one that I added because it's something that I refer to quite regularly is the Worldwide DX Club Weekly Top News that you can get on the wwwdxc.de/topnews website. This is more of a website, kind of, a blog, basically. The latest edition of November 5th is BCDX 1484. It is maintained by a very well-known radio DXer, Wolfgang Büschel from Germany, and it contains pretty much, it's almost like a news bulletin of what's happening on radio, from shortwave mostly, but medium wave and long wave stuff is in there, observations of shortwave radio broadcasting and unusual things that are found on the bands. New stations that could be there, stations that might have, punched in the wrong frequency last week when they were broadcasting. There's really a lot of observations. There's some parts of it sometimes could be in German. Sometimes they can be in other languages, but the majority of the post is in English, and it is by alphabetical country order. So all that you want to know, and there's things in there that you probably want to check out and even try on your radio. It'll give you ideas of things and stations to DX, and a lot of information of missing stations and so on. It's very, very nice, and I've been pretty much almost since the beginning, because this has been going on since July 1st, 1996. Probably the first bulletin I've ever found about shortwave radio when I had my first internet connection. So the Worldwide DX Club Top News by Wolfgang Büschel, Germany. This is really nice.
All right, so we'll post up the links to all of these free publications and online information for you on our Facebook page, so you can check those out.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun is rather calm. In the past week, there were some slight geomagnetic storming, very like G1 class, but barely, sometimes was mostly unsettled conditions. There was one M flare from a sunspot that was probably over the edge of the sun, but it still had an effect. Even though it was on the far side, it actually did a shortwave radio blackout, even though it was not directed to us. Apart from that, there are three sunspot groups on the sun. Conditions are pretty quiet right now. There's a little bit of a solar wind stream coming our way. There is a solar wind flowing from a southern coronal hole that could reach the Earth on November 16th or 17th. So that might actually degrade the conditions. I was thinking this week of we tried the DXing the medium wave frequency of WABC that had some maintenance. Conditions here up north, like in Montreal area, were not very good, and probably some of those geomagnetic unrest were impacting our medium wave capabilities this week. But overall, the solar flex is around 85. The K index, as we are recording, is rather K1, K2, which is quiet conditions. And, well, if you want to know if conditions are good or not, the best way to do so is to turn on that radio.
This is John Fisher of North Chelmsford, Massachusetts. I listen to the International Radio Port every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in the fair city of Montreal.
So next we have a story about, it's a survey and a study about users of car radios.
Yes, car buyers still want radios, apparently. That's according to a study via Radio World. A study commissioned by World DAB indicates that broadcast radios remain an important feature to car buyers. The research was done by Edison Research for World DAB in partnership with Radio Player and supported by the National Association of Broadcasters, Commercial, Radio Australia, and Xperi. Edison did national online surveys in September in Australia, France, Germany, Italy, and the United Kingdom and the United States. It found that broadcast radio continues to dominate as the most preferred source of in-car entertainment across the globe. The United States, among 1,060 recent and prospective car buyers surveyed, 89% said a broadcast radio tuner should be standard equipment in every car. Perhaps surprisingly, this trend was consistent across age groups, Edison reported. The survey also reveals that the availability of radio has a major impact on consumers' vehicle purchasing decisions. The organizations wrote in a summary of the study, 81% of prospective car buyers in the U.S. say they would be less likely to buy or lease a vehicle that is not equipped with a built-in radio tuner. Additional findings among important standard audio features in a new car, having a broadcast radio tuner ranked highest for prospective buyers ahead of USB ports and the availability of Bluetooth and smartphone mirroring. More than half said they listened to broadcast radio in the car frequently versus 29% for online streaming music services and 19% for CDs. 91% said it was important that radio should remain free. The importance of free-to-air radio was highlighted by motorists concerned about data charges for streamed content. A clear majority, 71%, of those who currently listen to audio via their mobile device say they are concerned about how much data they are using. Many U.S. car buyers expressed a desire to be able to search for stations using voice controls. And I think it highlights one fact. I don't have a car, but when I rent a car, the first thing I do is turn on that radio all the time. I think the car is probably the number one place where people listen to the radio outside of maybe the workplace and home.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think what they're mostly listening to is if, say, in commute time to and from work or whatever, they want the weather, they want the traffic reports, they want something local. You're going on a long trip or something, maybe you may have satellite radio or you may be listening to your own mixes of music or what have you. But I think having that local radio, you know, wherever you might be is something that's important to people. And obviously, this survey proves that.
Absolutely.
Let's move over to the Czech Republic. And we've heard similar stories from many countries, and I think we'll be hearing more of this. This comes from the SWLing Post. Medium wave switch off in the Czech Republic in 2021. Czech Public Radio is stepping up its information campaign for listeners receiving medium wave programs ahead of the planned switch off of transmitters by the end of 2021. Since the 1st of November, more announcements have been broadcast to warn users, and a call center has been set up to explain the possible listening alternatives from FM to DAB. In the run-up to Christmas, Public Radio will launch an intense advertising campaign in the print media and online magazines on November the 22nd to promote the purchase of digital DAB receivers to replace analog radios. The shift away from medium wave has been underway since the 2000s, affecting countries that have had alternative FM network or are in the process of creating one in DAB. But AM, amplitude modulation, still remains a resource for countries with large territorial coverage that can reach the entire population with a few installations.
That's the bad side to all of this conversion to DAB and the lower number of AM stations now on the medium wave band. They have good coverage in general, and with one transmitter, you can really cover a huge distance. Things that will not really happen with DAB. So it's sad to see that. I don't know if everybody really thinks about the impact of all of this and all the change that it brings.
I wonder how many people are going to see those ads and think, wow, I got to go out and buy a new radio? Like, what's wrong with the radio I have?
Yep. And not counting the people that aren't very tech savvy or tech oriented, that are going to say, like, they're going to turn on that radio one morning and it's like, why am I not hearing my favorite station anymore?
Yeah, exactly. We'll see what happens, but this is getting pretty aggressive in the Czech Republic. We'll see how it all comes out by the end of the year.
Yep.
That's pretty soon.
Yep. So for all of you out there that panicked for a couple of days, the University of 20 SDR is back in service. So this is a major SDR. It is one of the great SDRs online that you can use to listen to radio. It actually is amazing because it can take hundreds and hundreds of people at the same time listening to different things. They did an upgrade of the equipment, and it seems that the upgrade didn't go like they planned. So they weren't able to have it working well for a couple of days. But according to posts now, they're thanking applause and a big thank you to the team, it says here. And so this is apparently back online where you can now go and listen to shortwave. It's very sensitive, by the way. Shortwave, medium wave, long wave, lots of interesting stuff you can listen through that SDR.
Yeah, that's from Dr. Hans Georg Biener in the Netherlands, and that's where the SDR is based. If you're some people are confused by the name, the University of 20, like the number 20.
Like the number 20, yeah.
Yeah, so you can look that up online, and it's probably one of the most popular SDRs online out there in the whole world.
Yeah, what's nice with it is that, compared to Kiwi SDRs that we can go through, often Kiwi SDRs have only 4 or 8 people at the same time. So they can get when DX happens, they can actually be overcrowded and you have difficulty to get access, which is not a problem with the University of 20 SDR, because it can take hundreds of people at the same time.
I think we should maybe do a little feature in the future on the show about SDRs. We may have some listeners who don't quite know what these things are and what we're talking about. They're software-defined radios that you can access through the internet.
Through the internet, yep.
We'll just leave it at that for now, but maybe in the weeks ahead, if we get a quiet week, we'll talk about that a little more so people that have never experienced it can give it a try. It's really quite a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So there's some upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, we have 3 coming up next weekend for you. The first is the Bulgarian DX contest. It's from 1200 Zulu November 20th to 1200 Zulu November 21st, sponsored by the Bulgarian Federation of Radio Amateurs. It's 80 through 10 meter ham bands, both CW and SSB modes.
There's the All Austrian 160 meter contest. 16 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, November 20th, sponsored by the Austrian Amateur Radio Society. It's CW only, and the frequencies anywhere from 1810 to 1950 kilohertz. Participants should carefully observe their national regulations for 160 meters.
and a fairly large contest, the ARRL Sweepstakes Contest Single Sideband, 2100 Zulu November 20th to 0300 Zulu November 22nd, so this is the full weekend. The contest objective is to support amateur self-training in radio communications, including improving amateur radio operating skills, conducting technical investigations, and intercommunicating with other amateurs. Stations in the U.S. and Canada, including the territories and possessions, exchange information with as many other U.S. and Canadian stations as possible, 160 through 10 meter bands, and the mode is single sideband only.
So lots of stuff to listen to, and with that, we are out of time.
Yeah, please do go and check our Facebook page. We'll have the links, as we said, to all these interesting free publications that are available through the internet. Some of them are already posted there, actually, so you may see some of them if you scan through the page. But we'll post all of them up there and also some of the stories that we've talked about here today. So thanks for tuning in this week. We will do it all again next Sunday. Thanks for checking us out. And you can check us out again on the YouTube channel, International Radio Report, if you'd like to hear the show over again, or check some of our previous shows that are archived there as well. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Politica is thrilled to announce a special screening of the program Queer for Palestine on November 15 at 7 p.m. at La Sala Rossa. From intimate portrayal to experimental cinema, this program of queer shorts from Palestine and Lebanon examines the intersection of gender and sexual identity with the Palestinian liberation struggle. Co-curated with programmers from Regard Palestinien, and co-presented with the Feminist Media Studio and the Palestinian Youth Movement, the event is part